ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And Paul was concerned that they would be shaken in their faith. Basically, the word for shaken was just kind of interesting in the Greek. It carries with it the idea of a dog wagging his tail. Well, that sounds kind of weird. It's shaken. What is he talking about? Well, this is the idea with this. The devil, Satan, comes along and tries to flatter you with a promise of ease. Just follow me. Listen to me. Move off this course that God has set. You don't want to be persecuted. Come on. I've got good things for you. And he does that all the time. You just have to go back to the Garden of Eden. Has God indeed said, Satan said to Eve, you shall not surely die if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Satan always tries to get us off course. How do we stay on course? The Word of God. I love how Jesus dealt with the devil in Matthew chapter 4. Every time the devil confronted him, Jesus said, it is written. Period. This is what the scriptures say. You don't have to believe it. This is what it says. Take a hike. And that's what we need to really do with people. When they come against the teachings of God, when they bring false doctrine in, we say, but it is written. And this is what it says. You could accept it or reject it. I've had to do that over the last few years more than I want it. And the saddest part for me is that I can show them in the scriptures their error, and they refuse to believe it. And that breaks your heart. Because they'll take this down some rabbit trail, moving them farther away from the true and living God. We got to understand the devil wants to get us off course, discourage us. And it's easy to be discouraged. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need the fellowship of believers to encourage us. That's why we need worship, because it draws us back into God's presence. It gets our mind focused back on Him. It's having the right perspective. You know, Paul talked about that in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 30-some years ago, I didn't understand this verse about the outward man perishing. I understand that now. The outward man is perishing. I feel it every morning. I get up and go, how can I be sore? I slept. Well, this is ridiculous. But Paul says, hey, you know, that's going to happen. But the inward man is being renewed, is being built up. Don't hold on to that which is temporary. Okay? Hold on to that which is eternal. Perspective changes everything. I think that's why Paul, remember when he was on his way to Jerusalem and everywhere he went, they said, you know, chains and trouble awaits you. And Paul, when he was speaking to the Ephesian elders at Miletus, said, hey, look, none of these things move me. Why? Because I know what I'm called to do. This outward man is going to perish one day. But boy, I'm going to be with the Lord, and nothing's going to move me from the course that God has set for my life. And it's not always easy. And we go, why, Lord, why? And I think A.W. Tozer kind of puts it in perspective for us. He said, before God can use a person greatly, he must allow that person to be hurt deeply. We don't like that. But that is a reality. It's not that God's being mean to us. But the thing is, you know, we can really comfort others as we've gone through difficult times. We draw close to God during those really difficult times. And really, all the tribulation, the difficulty that comes upon us, it really shows that our faith is real. You know, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, God is showing us what's in our hearts. And yeah, he shows us some of those bad things that we need to get rid of, where we need to trust in him more. But he's showing the genuineness of our faith. He knows our faith already. It's us that need to see what's going on to help us to grow. It shows us that our faith is real. Also, we can bring the comfort and the encouragement of God to others. You know, Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." How God comforts us through various situations in our lives, we can say, hey, you know what, when I went through that, this is what God showed me. And, you know, it may not help you, but this is what he showed me and helped me through. It also helps us to develop endurance or perseverance. Paul in Romans 5:3 said, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance." All right, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you glory in tribulation? How many of you are like, oh, great, man, we're being persecuted today. Everything is falling up. We really don't. But Paul said, you know what? We glory in tribulations. Why? Because it's helping us to go on. It's helping us to persevere. I do a lot of running, and I can tell you there are days, are you kidding me? I don't want to run. I don't want to do it, but I have to push myself. As Christians, that's what God is doing. He's kind of pushing us. Okay, I know you're not feeling great today. I know you're not feeling up to this. I know you don't want to face any of these things, but you need to go on. It also gives us boldness. Acts 4:29. "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Yeah, tribulation. Lord, help us to be more bold. And it helps remove impurities from our lives. Job 23:10. "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." You know, when gold is heated up, the impurities in that gold just rise to the surface and they're skimmed off. When our lives are heated up, when difficulty comes, some of that garbage comes to the surface that we probably didn't even know about. And God says, "No, you need to give it to me. Let me scrape some of that garbage off." He's refining us like in the fire. And I'm sure there's more out there. But we know tribulation is just the way of life as Christians. It's how we deal with it. And for Paul, he wanted to know, how are these believers doing in Thessalonica? How was their faith holding up? You know, he had a little success in Athens as he spoke to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Corinth, kind of the armpit of the world, totally wicked. Paul was kind of depressed and down. So Timothy goes back to Thessalonica to make sure they're okay. You know, we think of Paul, he was depressed, he was down, he was discouraged. Yeah, he was just like us. We get that way. And you need others to help encourage you many times. And they do. That's what Timothy is going to do. He's going to send word back, hey, they're doing great. They're doing great. The body of Christ, guys, is so important. This is, and I've said this so many times, but the devil loves to do that. When you are going through a tough time, when you can't take it anymore, the devil will keep you out of the Word of God, and the devil will keep you from the fellowship of believers. And he'll isolate you, and he'll attack you even more. How great it is to be in a group of believers, to be encouraged and strengthened and prayed for. You know, Paul talked about it in Hebrews 10:24-25. "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And I think when Paul said, as you see the day approaching, he's talking about the Lord coming back. It's going to get tougher. We need each other. You know, the Lone Ranger had Tano, right? We need each other too, guys. So how were they doing? Was Paul's labor in vain? Look at the report that Timothy brought back. Look at verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. Wow. That was good news. You know, Paul, when he heard what things were happening, it just encouraged him. The faith was real. They manifested this agape love or unconditional love that can only come from God. Agape love is not a human love. It's a supernatural love that comes from God. So as down in the dumps as Paul was, this good news lifted his spirits, knowing they were doing well. You know, Proverbs 25:25 says, "As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country." Yeah. That's what we see here. Good news from Thessalonica. Their faith was real and the work was not dead. You know, Spurgeon said this. He said, "Never is the servant of God so full of delight as when he sees the Holy Spirit is visiting his hearers, making them to know the Lord and confirming them in that heavenly knowledge. On the other hand, if God does not bless the word of his servants, it is like death to them. To be preaching and to have no blessing makes them heavy of heart. The chariot wheels are taken off and they drag heavily along. They seem to have no power nor liberty." Yeah. But boy, when Paul heard about these guys, definitely encouraged them. Look at verse 8. "For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you? For all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before God, night and day praying exceeding that we might see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith." You know, think about this. If they're doing so well, why was Paul praying for areas they were lacking in? Because we all need prayer. We're not perfect. Yeah, they were doing well, but we always need to go further, move on, grow. And Paul wanted them to continue to grow. You know, again, one of the things that is lacking so much in the Church of Jesus Christ today is the teaching of God's Word. And we are now seeing the repercussions of not teaching the Word of God. You know, we saw it a lot with the Word of Faith movements and stuff, where they had gotten so far away from God's Word. And now it's continued on. So we've, you know, let's say, wow, we've probably got 50, 60 years or more of moving away from the Word of God. And look at what has come into the church. You know, we've got Christian witches. I don't know. Do they have broom closets? I don't know. You know, you figure that one out. Christian mysticism. Allowing homosexuality in the church as a normal part of life. Gay marriage. Abortion. How does it come into the church? Because people don't know the Word of God. That's the key. And so now we're condoning lifestyles that God says is a sin. One person wrote this. He said, "After listening to your Bible studies," not mine personally, he said, "I now understand the importance of attending a church that teaches the whole counsel of God's Word. Unfortunately, my church has changed over the years from teaching the Bible to just entertaining people with spiritual junk food. After learning so much from your ministry, I decided to approach my pastor, asking him to return to in-depth teaching. He started yelling at me, accusing me of challenging his authority. He refused to even consider what I had to say. I don't know what to do now. Should I leave my church or work to improve it?" I don't mean to be cold or insensitive, but get out. If they don't want to teach the Word of God, if they're there to entertain you, go see a movie. And go find a church that's going to teach the Word of God. But that's what's popular today. You know, I just had someone write to me about a church that someone wants to bring them to where the sanctuary is dark. My question is it dark so you don't bring your Bibles and you can't challenge what the pastor is saying? I don't understand. Isn't the church to be the light of the world? Aren't we to be the light of the world? We are the church, the people. We're to be a light, not darkness. So why is the sanctuary dark? I don't get it. I don't understand it. We need to earnestly contend for the faith, like I said, that's been entrusted to us. I've had someone say to me that you know, Jesus didn't teach verse by verse through the Bible. So actually it was, he was reiterating what his pastor said. And so that's why I do, that's why he does topical studies, because Jesus never taught verse by verse through the Bible. Well, when he was in public, of course, he's teaching, he's sharing with all the people. But in the synagogue, they had chapters to read. And then there would be someone who would expound on those verses that were read. But again, why did this pastor say that? So he can continue on with topical studies and teach what he wants. You know, I'm telling you, you go through the Bible verse by verse, you're going to hit verses that you don't want to deal with, because they're going to irritate people when you share them. It's just the way it is. You know, it's probably several months back, someone had brought a relative who was dealing with the gay lifestyle. And that happened to be when we were going through a section that dealt with that. What are the odds, right? Well, yeah, that's where God had it. I don't change my message to what I, to the people that I see here. Oh no, so-and-so is here. That's going to offend them. I better change it. That would be a man-pleaser. I fear God too much to do that. I just have to speak forth the word of God. And then it's up to you, to me, to each of us as individuals, to deal with God's word, to allow the Spirit of God to work in us. Listen to what Paul said as he spoke again to the Ephesian pastors in Acts 20, verses 24 through 28. He said, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you are, that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers, the shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Paul taught the whole counsel of God. Was it the Old Testament? Yeah. And he opened it up to what Jesus, who Jesus Christ is. But it was the whole counsel of God. It wasn't a topic or here a verse and there a verse. And then Paul says, you pastors are accountable to God because Jesus Christ purchased these people with his blood, and you're accountable to them to give them the word of God, the whole counsel of God. Don't mess with God's people. You feed them the truths of God found in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. And Paul gave them a warning. He said, you know, it's going to be tough. He said in Acts 20, verses 29 through 31, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul warned them. Wolves are going to come in and try and devour you with their false teaching, their false doctrine. Be careful. What's the best way to prevent false teaching, false doctrine from coming into the church? Giving people a healthy diet of the Word of God. I guarantee it. It will dispel the false doctrine. Otherwise, like Paul said in Ephesians 4, you'll be like children tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine that come blowing through the church. Many people just set their sails up and here comes a new wind of doctrine and they get blown away. I'm always amazed by it. And sometimes they're really people, grounded people, people who know the Word of God, but here comes something new and they're just blown away. And it's like, yeah, but this is what the scriptures say. Oh, but you don't understand. In the Greek, it means this. Here's the thing, guys. If you could only understand God's word by knowing Hebrew or Greek, how many of you could do it? I won't even raise my hand. So do you think Almighty God can speak to us today here in America using an English Bible? Oh yeah, he can. Do you think he could speak in Japan using a Japanese Bible? Oh, he can. Wait, that's not Greek or Hebrew. Our God is bigger than that. He speaks to our hearts. He knows exactly what we need. We need to be careful. I've seen far too often today people get tricked by these shysters. Be careful. Well, look at verse 11. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So Paul begins this prayer by asking God to direct his way to Thessalonica, to open a door for him. And I think the Lord eventually did. And then here in verse 12, Paul speaks of them increasing and abounding in love, praying for that. Did they lack love? No. But when compared to the love of God, we all need more love, right? We need God's love in our lives. Now, here's the thing. What is the identifying mark of Christians today? Is it carrying a big King James Bible? No. Christian t-shirts, that's got to be it, right? No, that's not it. Going to church? No. Tithing? No. Love. Agape love. And we see that lacking. You know, I see some of these protesters, you know, that are coming against things, and they're so angry and nasty. But where's the love of God? Aren't we to love people? I'm not saying we agree with people's sin. I think we need to stand up for righteousness. But if we do it in an ungodly manner, what are people seeing in us? We need to be careful. Jesus said in John, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this you will know, they will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a gift of the Spirit. And is there a difference? Absolutely. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us immediately. You know, it's not like something that just takes years of practice. And I realize with some of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospels, you know, the prophets and apostles, we just have to work our way. We're not perfect yet, and we're making predictions, but that's not how it works, not at all. The fruit of the Spirit, though, is being Christ-like. And it doesn't come instantaneously, and it grows over time as we walk with the Lord, as we allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives. And Paul's calling for them to increase and abound in love. Grow in Jesus. It's really the sanctification process. You know, Jesus, you know, said in Matthew 5 that if we just love people like everyone, and I'm paraphrasing, if we just love people like everyone else does, you know, those that are nice to us, we're nice to them. Those that are mean to us, well, we're not nice to them. Then we're just like the world. We're no different. But if we love those that hate us and spitefully use us, we pray for them, different. And then we need to remember that. Think about where you were at before you got saved and how you behaved and how you spoke to Christians. So when others speak to you, don't lose sight of that. They're where you were at one time. And you need to pray for them. You need to love them. And it's a love that comes from God. And Paul ends this chapter here with the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't think he's speaking about the rapture here. And the reason I say that is he says that before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. At the rapture, we go to be with him. But when he returns to set up his kingdom, we come with him. Jesus Christ is coming back with his saints. So I think this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'll close with this. These are words from Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 24. He said, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." Thank you, Lord. You are going to be working in me, that sanctification process. I just need to surrender to you. I need to be open to what you're doing in my life. I don't want to get in your way. I don't want to stop you from what you're doing. I want to surrender fully so you can complete the work you began in me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example here this evening of Paul, Silas, Timothy, just the wonderful example they were of faithful servants, Lord, and how even men and women of God can get discouraged and down and depressed. How wonderful it is to have faithful brothers and sisters in the Lord to encourage us and to just help us to continue forward. To get our eyes focused back on you. And Lord, we long for the day when you come back. But until that time, we need to occupy until you come. We need to continue doing the work that you called us to do. May we be men and women who are known for our love for you and our love for the people of this world. Not that we agree with their sin, but we love them. We want to see them to come to saving faith. Lord, give us that boldness to speak forth your word, boldness that we can't do on our own, but we need your spirit to empower us. No matter what comes our way, we will shine for you. We love you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.